Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
To ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. And you still have time to subscribe to my newsletter this week and get the article that I wrote on business life forms, the different kinds of business entities that there are and what kind is best for you. So you can check that out when you get a chance. You still have time to get that one by subscribing at jbsba.com. It is free, and we do have a very strict privacy policy and a very strict system of removing you from our list if you tell us that you would like to be removed. So we do that automatically. So check that out when you get a chance. You can get in easy. You can get out easy. Linda Novi is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's a new friend. She's CEO of Gardeners Guild Incorporated in San Rafael, California, and she's a very highly recognized small business owner. The Office Depot recognized her this year, as one of the top women entrepreneurs of the year. She's our new friend, Linda Novi. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Jim. Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Also, you're very much involved in an organization called NABO.
Yes.
A number of our Brain Trust members are members of that. The National. What do you say? You tell us what it stands for.
National Association of Women Business Owners, and it is a dynamic group. I was just back at the annual convention in Nashville, Tennessee, and it was inspiring and fun, and I learned to do a couple two-step numbers.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you had fun, and it's a good group of folks.
Yes.
And we've talked about them a good bit on the show before. They do good work, it's just another example of how women are emerging in the marketplace and in some respects getting a little more organized than us guys are. We're starting to get a little nervous about that, Linda.
Oh, don't be nervous. We love guys. But you're right. There is an old girls network that is definitely in place.
Boy, I'm glad you said that. I couldn't have gotten away with that.
Hey, Jim, I do need to correct you. As of last week, I am no longer CEO of Gardeners Guild because I just sold my last shares to my employees. We're
wow.
An employee stock ownership trust.
Congratulations.
So, thank you. So now I'm a consultant to Gardeners Guild.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, but you still got a story to tell because you got this thing going a number of years ago, and that's what I want you to do is talk to us about the good and the bad and the ugly of your career. What has happened? What kept you up at night? I guess maybe the best thing to do is how did you get started?
Well, like probably a lot of women, a lot of people, I got started in the plant world through taking care of plants. It was a pure hobby. I moved out to California from Arizona and the shift from the desert to the lush plants of Sausalito, California. Sausalito's the first town over the Golden Gate Bridge. Just absolutely caught my attention. And the 70s was the era of houseplants and fern bars. So I
mm-hmm.
had houseplants all over the place. And meanwhile, I was a secretary in the financial district in San Francisco. And several people noticed how well my plants looked. And they said, gee, why don't you take care of the plants in our office. We're in this high-rise building in San Francisco. So I said, well, okay.
So you were the green thumb lady.
I was and actually I started a little company then, and it was called Power Plants. It was sort of after Carlos Castaneda, author of mm-hmm. shamanism, and I was the plant lady. So I would take the ferry over in the morning before work and go take care of these plants and, you know, that kind of a thing, and then go to my job at 9 o'clock as a secretary. And pretty soon I began living a double life. You know, I knew where my heart was. It was in the plant world. And I actually got fired from my job as a secretary, but in a really nice way. I look back and say, it was a cosmic boot. I needed to get out, and somebody saw that and said, hey, Linda, I see where your heart is. Go do your plant business.
So you were showing up with fertilizer all over your dress, and that ammonia smell sort of turned off the clients, didn't it?
It did. So sometimes you have to look at when a door closes, you know, other doors open, and sometimes people along the way give you feedback. You may not want to hear it then, but in the long run, it's a good thing.
You know, I was, and my audience has heard me say this before, I was downsized twice in the 80s.
Oh, really?
In an 18-month period. You talk about what I thought was really bad luck in those days. Within 3 years, after I started my small business in 89, I went back and thanked both of those people for doing that.
Right on.
Yeah, you're right. It was a cosmic boot, and you're exactly right. 20 till, right back with our new friend Linda Novi. We've got more good things to talk about right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Jeffrey Zabar will be with us, and we're going to talk about all things home business, also networking. We'll talk about, telecommuting, I should say. We're going to talk about telecommuting with Jeff, and then Rick Maurer will join us. He'll have some good things to talk to us about, and then after Rick, we'll be visiting with Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. We're now visiting with Linda Novi, who's our new friend and a businesswoman of the year chosen by Office Depot in a big soiree earlier this year out in Florida. And Linda, I want to congratulate you on being recognized by Office Depot and by so many other organizations around the country, and I just think it's just a great thing that you got recognized, because you've been an outstanding example of entrepreneurialism in this country, and congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It is very surprising when you do get recognized, because like most entrepreneurs, you're busy doing what you do best.
Yeah.
Multitasking. So it was really fun to have that recognition.
I wanted to say that I want to get back into, you know, when you started your business, your passion essentially drug you kicking and screaming from your employment, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
It just sort of took over. I mean, so many people in my career as a consultant in the past, and now as what I do, and I run into so many people who are yearning. They're just dying to get into something. They want to be an owner, and they don't know what they want it to be, but they just know they want to be an owner. And they ask me, and I tell them what I think you would tell them, and that is, you know, find your passion, which we've said on the show before. Find the thing that you would rather be doing than anything else in the world.
Yes, absolutely, because that's what's going to sustain you over time. And for me, the landscape world and the world of plants has remained my hobby and my business vocation, and I'm still just as enthusiastic about it as I ever was, although it's evolved. I'm now really interested in sustainable landscape management.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a far cry from just doing interior plants, but we still offer that service too, plant care.
What were the big challenges in the early days of starting your business? What was the thing that woke you up at 3 o'clock in the morning that was on your mind most often?
Well, one of the biggest challenges was when we needed a small loan, and also when we needed to buy a couple trucks. I don't know if you remember, but in the 70s, it was real hard for women on their own to get financing.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact,
even as late as the 90s in a lot of places.
I mean, even getting a credit card. Mm-hmm. And so I had.
You'd go to the bank and they'd want your husband they'd want your husband's financial statement, they might not know whether you had a husband or not, but they'd want that.
That's right. And so I had to go around to different banks. I finally found a banker who was. Really believed in me, and he shocked me. He came out to our office. We were on a horse ranch then, on a horse ranch out in Fairfax, and
mm-hmm.
he saw our operation. He looked at our very simple profit and loss statement. He gave me advice, and he gave me the loan.
Wow.
And I've never forgotten him, and I've never forgotten that. And then when
he became
a
partner, didn't he?
He became a partner, and I think that's really good advice for people starting out in businesses. Find a banker who will become a partner.
Mm-hmm. And shop around till you find that person.
That's right.
If you don't find it, if the first five bankers don't act like that, then you just haven't you haven't kissed enough toads yet.
That's right. And find a banker with whom you can talk easily, who really trusts your gut, who feels good, where it's easy. The other challenge I had was I wanted to buy three small trucks, and I could not get financing. And I sat down in the office of the Chevy dealer here. He's no longer in business. He retired. But, you know, I actually broke down and cried a little bit. And he personally...
See, guys can't get away with that. See, that's something women can do successfully. Guys can't do that, Linda. I actually tried it once. It didn't work.
Well, this man was so great. He personally co-signed with GMAC for me. And I,
wow.
You know, he said, I've never done this before, but, you know, I'm going to do this for you. And I'm happy to say I paid my payments regularly, paid the trucks off.
Yeah.
You know,
you were worthy of his trust.
I was worthy of his trust, and, you know, your sincerity does shine through. So along the way, relationships are everything in business. If you don't have relationships, you are not going to be successful. And I think that harkens back to what you were saying. Your initial goal cannot be to get rich. Sure, you need to turn a profit to sustain the business, but you need to really be cultivating those relationships and honoring your promises and, you know, focusing on what your core values are. That, as you said earlier, will result in a profitable company.
Dave Longaberger was a learning disabled stutterer who started selling baskets that his dad made with his hands. He built it into a $1 billion company, $1 billion a year in sales company. And when you asked him what his success tip was, he said exactly what you said, Linda. He said, your success in life will depend upon the relationships that you cultivate.
That's
he said
right.
Exactly the same words you said. Folks, if you ever talk to people like Linda Novi, like Dave Longaberger, and others who have been incredibly successful, they'll all tell you the important thing in success is building the relationships. No question about it. 10 till, quick break, right back with Linda Novi. More to come. Stay with us. We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Linda Novi is our guest, and she is just an outstanding success story, folks, of someone who took a dream, something she was passionate about, and made it into a very successful business. The business is doing very well. In fact, it's doing well enough that she's actually sold her business to her employees. Now, that is an incredible success story. And, Linda, I want to congratulate you on that, because you not only made your own dream come true, you made the dreams come true of a lot of other people. And that's, I don't know what else could, what better could be said of anybody.
Well, thank you.
No, I mean that. I mean, that's a big deal. And I think, I don't want to minimize that at all. I want to make sure that we point that out, because, I mean, you guys created an ESOP?
Yes, we did, in 1998.
Yeah, an employee stock option program.
It's an employee stock ownership trust.
Oh, okay, ownership trust. Even though there's a P on the end there, folks, it's a trust.
It's an ESOP or an ESOP.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's talk about how, as you were growing your business. Oh, by the way, does Gardeners Guild have a website?
Yes, we do. It's gardenersguild.com.
Okay. What do we find when we get there?
You're going to find some profiles of some of our key people and what our services offered are, and it's under construction, so we still have more to add, but you'll see some of the key points listed there.
All right, check that out, folks, especially if you just like to see what another small business website looks like. Okay, what are some... There are ladies out there right now, Linda, who are where you were some of them 10 years ago, some of them 20 years ago, and some of them, you know, when you were starting your business back in the 70s, what would you like to say to them? What's the most important, what are a couple of the most important things you'd like to say to them to help them out? Some things that you would have liked to have heard when you were at that stage.
Well, I would have liked to have had someone tell me, hey, Linda, write down a business plan, which I didn't do. Eventually, I did, you know, write a plan out. But I think if you can bring your vision into a point of clarity, write it down, share it with your staff, your vendors, your clients, potential lenders, that is really key, because then you're really bringing everyone along with you, and it really hones that mission and clarify your core values and hire people that share those values. So I think that's really key. I think also finding several key clients that can really sustain your business. We happened upon those about 10 years in to the business, and that really propelled us to a different level. You know, large clients that we're still with after 15 years, and, you know, that's really important. So, and then really partner with those clients so mm-hmm. that, you know, you retain them.
That's an important perspective that you just gave us, Linda, I think, to partner with your clients. A lot of people would say, well, how can you be a partner with your customers? But it actually not only can be done, it's an excellent way to do business, isn't it?
Oh, it's an excellent way, and it harkens back to being relationship-based. You're working with clear understandings of their needs, your needs. There's a give and take, there's reciprocity, and, you know, you're very clear on what their goals are, and you're working to serve their goals. Usually you'll have matching core values, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the kinds of relationships, as opposed to what we call toxic clients,
mm-hmm.
that you really want to hang on to, and you're going to do everything in your power to keep them long term.
Well, the way you have partners as customers is you become their partner first, because
That's right.
you find out what they need, and you integrate your business. You stick yourself. You fix yourself. You join your customers at the hip almost.
Absolutely.
And you find out, you find a way for them to become indispensable, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're on their team. It's we, not I, not
mm-hmm.
you. You know, sometimes that means you've got to adjust your budget to work with their budget.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always get what you want when you want it, but they'll be there for you in the long run. And in this day and age, one of the things I've noticed now, as opposed to the 70s and 80s, is that facilities managers change. They're outsourcing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Property managers change. In the 70s and 80s, there was much more stability.
Yeah.
Now, you know, there has to be some sustaining thread that can
right.
carry you through all these different administrative changes.
And you've got to be flexible, which means we've got to be flexible. Linda, that means I got to go. But you've got more to tell us, and I want you to get you back on the show another day
and get you back
to share some of your wisdom with us.
Love to come back. Thank you so much, Jim. Thanks, Linda.
Linda Novi, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get her back another day. I got to go for this hour. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.